streets don't love you back. Stay tuned every Wednesday at 11:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 8:30 Pacific, with your hosts, Boyd and Lucinda, for the hottest talk show in existence. The streets don't love you back. I gotta do right before they call me home.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome right here to the hottest radio show worldwide, The Streets Don't Love You Back. And we have a great guest that's going to be on the show tonight. We're going to have Ms. Davis and Ms. Tate and a few other guests that's going to be on here as well. So without further ado, we're going to go straight on over here to our guests. I see the call just came in. Hello, caller, you on the air?
This is Felicia Davis out of Atlanta with the Black Women's Roundtable.
Yes, how you doing tonight, Ms. Davis?
I'm doing wonderful. How are you?
Just blessed to be up and moving around, and great to have you on the show tonight.
Yes, I'm looking forward to it.
All right. So what I would like to ask you, Ms. Davis, is, how did you get involved with the great work that you're doing, and what would you like our viewers to get out of the great work you're doing with people?
Well, I've been a member of the Black Women's Roundtable for several years, I think since 1996. And over the years, we've worked to advance the interest of Black women on a number of fronts, including civic engagement and then business help. So our motto is healthy, wealthy, and wise. And just recently, the National Coalition, which houses the Black Women's Roundtable, embarked upon a study of the status of Black women in America. And my specific section was Black women and entrepreneurship. And some of our colleagues covered everything, I think, STEMs, women and girls in science, engineering, mathematics, science, technology, engineering, and mathematics, women in retirement years, women in the labor movement, et cetera. So it ran the spectrum, both some things that we're doing very well in and some areas where we're extremely challenged. So with that, I focused on entrepreneurship. I am a partner in a small African-American female-owned business, Women Flying High, LLC, and we work to increase the share of contracts, government contracts, for women in Metro Atlanta and Georgia. So anyway, that's how I came to be involved specifically with this effort and more broadly with the Black Women's Roundtable, which is a very influential civic-minded kind of coalition of women, and our narrow interests range, I think, all areas of life impacting Black women.
Yes, and that sounds like a great venture to be involved in, and like I'm listening, it's not just about helping self, it's about helping others uprise as well. So that is definitely a great mission. And what do you have? Go ahead, Ms. Davis.
Well, we believe in taking care of ourselves so that we can take good care of others. So it's part of our kind of ethic to say that we realize the role that we have in our community, whether it's rearing children, caring for elders, handling the work environment, professional careers, et cetera. So given the broad area that we cover in the Black community, we know that it's very important to the extent possible to try to be healthy, stay healthy, and help to grow healthy communities. So that is, it's really important that we feel that we do well when we all do well, and yes, there is no narrow individual success. We have more of a collective mindset.
Yes, and with that being said, Ms. Davis, if anybody had to get in touch with you or would like to get in touch with you and your websites or anything that you have for contact, please give that out to the viewers.
Sure. It's ncbcp.org for National Coalition on Black Civic Participation. So if you go there, you will find the Black Women's Roundtable and some of our activities listed. Of course, people can certainly go online and contribute to help the work go on, especially small donors we believe in. And we do function nationwide. We have a very strong presence in the nation's capital where we meet, I would say periodically, but fairly regularly, whether it's with members of Congress and the White House, various federal agencies, constantly advocating on behalf of Black women, especially in the U.S., but we also pay some attention to Black women in the diaspora. We're, you know, certainly very focused now on the Nigerian girls, as are, I think, all people of good conscience, and all income groups. So whether it's low income, middle income, or more affluent and accomplished, all are represented within the round table. So if you go to the website, ncbcp.org, we're particularly interested in making sure that all Black women vote. So all women of voting age 18 in time for the election, we encourage to get out to vote. And of course, we Black women outvoted all other groups in the last presidential election. So
amazing.
Yes.
That's amazing with the election, you know, because we have to get all people to get up off their bottom side and get out and vote and make change, because I hear a lot of people say they want change from all aspects and all walks of life. But if you're not contributing to the change or trying to make that change, or you're just a person that's sitting down conversating, would that be an accurate thing to say, Ms. Davis?
Well, that's no doubt that's true. However, quite a large segment of the population is in what I would say is a more passive mode, with the mm-hmm. expectation that change is going to come and knock at their door. And I don't think it's the fault of those that, you know, there's a kind of awareness, education that has to go on. Because if we think back to 2008, you know, in the election mm-hmm. cycle, you saw a lot of people who previously might not have been engaged when presented with the opportunity to do something that would make history. People did get up off of their couch. They contributed. And, of course, it raised expectations. But I think that where we provide clear opportunities for people to be of service, more often than not, they'll take advantage of those opportunities. And I think it's incumbent upon those of us that have perhaps more means, information, or access to be more yes. conscientious about providing that little link, you know, to bridge that gap between not being able to being able. And that's
right.
Some of what we try to do with the Black Women's Roundtable, reaching out to our sisters that may need some mentoring, may need a little guidance, may need a hand up to move up and on. So I personally am very optimistic. Of course, yeah. Black women are doing some tremendous things. We have big Definitely. Challenges, but we're making big moves at the same time.
Exactly, and making a lot of progress through life, and that's the key, making progress. And that's a great thing, like you said, in 2008, a lot of people got up off their couch and did what they had to do. From all walks of life and all ethnic groups got off their couch to make that history. But we, as the people, we have to keep on getting up off that couch to continue making that change and continue being that voice out here for the unvoiceless. Do you agree with that?
Absolutely. And I think your listeners would want to know that black women actually lead all women in starting new businesses. So where the economy may have slowed down and jobs weren't available, it's important to know that, one, black women, where they didn't have other options, they created businesses. And then number two, if you look at our labor participation, that's there as well. So we've been through some very challenging times, but in terms of women struggling to keep moving forward, we're also in that group. It changes, I think, the perception of black women is very different from our reality.
Yes, and that's a great point that you definitely made to the viewers, because it's a lot of people that need to hear that point, and it's a lot of people, like you just said, that need that guidance, that don't have that guidance, and need a hand up, you know, with mentoring and being educated, you know. And for all those viewers who's listening tonight, please get in touch with Ms. Davis and give them that information one more time, Ms. Davis.
Sure. It's ncpcb.org. And I think the one thing, even though this was not my area, I think it's really important for people to know and embrace the fact that black women lead the nation in labor force participation. So sometimes if people think about black women, they don't think of us as hardworking women. They still, there's that image of kind of the single mom that's getting a check from the government. And that is not the reality of the black woman in America. So we outpace other women in participating in the labor market. So I think that's very important. We are the fastest growing group among women in creating small businesses, women-owned businesses. So these are high points. At the same time, we have growing incarceration rates. Our girls are starting to encounter some of the challenges that our boys have encountered, and we have to really keep an eye out that that doesn't escalate any further. We have some real issues with violence in a number of corridors, so we have to keep a watch and vigilant about that, and we certainly have some very serious health challenges. So those things are there as well, but the Black Women's Roundtable is embracing the whole basket of who we are and really working to move our agenda forward, whether it's with the government, whether it's within the community, and even among ourselves, sister to sister, so that we are communicating well, that we're expressing love and respect to one another, and that we're really charting a course to move forward and with an air of leadership. And we believe that we can bring leadership for America and the world.
Amen. And we got a call on the line, Ms. Davis. I'm going to take that call, and that caller might want to ask you a question. So we're going to take this call.
Sure.
Caller, you on the air, 6080, last four digits.
What's up, baby boy?
Hey, how you doing, my brother? You know, you've been listening to Ms. Davis tonight?
Yeah, I've been listening to it, man, a little bit. You know, I think I caught the end of it.
Oh, okay, yeah. Ms. Davis is speaking about educating and mentoring women around the world. And you can speak on that a little bit more, Ms. Davis. We just had a caller come in. So you can speak on that some more, let him be able to comment on that.
Well, Carla, I guess thank you for calling in, first of all, and especially I think we're a week away, I think, from Mother's Day, so as a black woman, it's encouraging to talk on the radio with a brother that's hosting, and then to have a brother call in. I was just saying, speaking about many of the positive things that black women are doing, letting it be known that by and large we work, by and large we support our families, our children, our elders, our communities, and we're, you know, doing our best to move our communities forward. And the report that the Black Women's Roundtable pulled out the actual numbers in a number of categories, whether it's on the negative side, young sisters, you know, there's a little growing incarceration rate. On the positive side, we're creating more businesses. On the negative side, we're getting obesity and diabetes. On the positive side, we are active in the labor force. So it's a mixed bag, but overall, I think that the future is still bright for the black community based on the strength of black women, not to discount the men, but we really had to pause a moment to take stock of who we are and where we are. So that's what the report is about. And if you go to ncbcp.org, you can download a copy of the report. It's Black Women in the United States, 2014. So you may have some questions about maybe what was in the report or some comments about how you feel about black women and our role in America.
Okay. Yeah, I guess I just want to say, out of no disrespect, I think I don't look at it like black and white. I think every woman is equal, and every woman needs to be joined together as women. And I think women actually stick together better than men do. But I understand your point, and I see where you're going with it. But I guess I'm just an equal type of individual. I'm colorblind, actually, because a man is a man and a woman is a woman. But, you know, we do have problems, and I think it's kind of actually equal on both sides, because where I grew up and where I live now is equal, because I see more of each race having the same obesity, the same violent. It is going a lot as far as the African-American is concerned, yes, but I kind of see it as an equal thing. Like I said, no disrespect, I heard what you said, and I agree with it and everything, but I just don't see the color thing in there, and I apologize for that.
Here's the thing, that no disrespect is taken. It just happens to be that, you know, I just happen to have been born a black woman. So it doesn't make me, it's just like I'm born a woman. So I happen to be a woman. So I have a set of experiences that are different from men. For example, I gave birth to a child. Just happens to be something that men don't do. As a black woman, I experience the economy different from other women. So my experience is such that given the same set of abilities, so given the same credit report, the same experience, that, you know, everything else being the same, I will not win as often. That's my experience. That's my reality. Now, it doesn't make me against anyone else. I'm just defining my reality just as I would expect that all other, and not I expect, I know that all other groups do the same. And in the big context, we're all humans. But I happen to be a black woman born in America, and that gives me a certain construct that I had no part in creating. But in navigating, I simply used that information to say, here's where I am, here's where we are. And it's really a convenient way to look at my experience. And the peculiar thing about race is that when you take away
before you go to that, can I ask you one question? Have you ever looked at yourself as being a woman first and not a color? Because, you know, it in the beginning man was made and then there was woman. And I don't think God said, here go a black man and there go a white woman or a white man and a black girl. I think we were born a man and a woman first. We were given the word color amongst ourselves as time went on. But have America really sat back and thought about who they really are? Because if everyone thinks that they're colors, then that I think that's where the problems start, and that's how we raise our kids, not racially wise, but I'm saying if we raise them to be men and not a color, if we raise a woman to be a woman and not a color, I think we'll all see a difference and not think it's a racial thing. I'm not making it a racial thing against it, but I'm saying don't look at yourself as being a black woman. Look at yourself first as being a woman.
Look, when I was, I had to be taught that I was a black woman. So when I look at myself, trust me, all I see is beautiful. So don't think that I over-identify with some kind of status. Race is a construct. It is a political construct, and navigating through it. It's not that I don't go through my day thinking of myself as either black or woman, because I'm here. I'm a child of God and pleased to be one. But
amen.
When it comes to, if I look at why is my business not flourishing, right? And okay, if I can rule out everything else, and then I say, well, wait a minute. This group of people have this experience as a group. What do you suggest? How do you suggest that one would approach that?
I agree with you. I'm making a statement. So this can go out to the president if it have to. If America, not you personally, if America finally realize who they are today, instead of being a color today, we would be better American, because we were first born humans, man, woman. No one gave us a color until a man decided to give us a color. So I'm a man first, and I'm not black, I'm not white, I'm a man, and I present myself like that and not a color. I don't see it as being, I need a bunch of black brothers to get together to make something happen. I need a whole bunch of brothers, period. Rather, if you can be orange, I need them all, because We all, when at the end of the day, we all are brothers and sisters, period. Whether you're black, white, orange, green, yellow, it doesn't matter. You're human. You're a man and you're a woman. We need to teach our kids that. We teach them, oh, you're black because you need to go over here. Well, you white, you need to stay away from over there. You know, we need to bring it together at the table instead of bringing one race to the table.
There's a couple of things. So I think for the Black Women's Roundtable, the reason or the manner in which we come together as African American women is not so much an expression of race or color. In fact, we don't, you know, I don't even think of black like it's a color. It's like not black or red. It's more a cultural experience. So it would be community. And if I look at the cultural experience, I would say oftentimes you will have Southern roots. You will have a Christian foundation. This is not true across the board, but I'm just speaking in terms of things that the round table, for example, would identify with. So it's like no matter what religion a woman in the round table might have, we all have a very deep understanding of the role of Christianity or the black church within the black community. That doesn't have anything to do with color. That is experience. That's the community that you're a part of. And in caring for that community and doing this report, we looked at the ills impacting our family. So, and it doesn't mean that all of humanity is not our family. It is. But you start close to home first, especially if there are some challenges. If we're looking at our children, and I'm speaking as a black mother, there's a concern with maybe the escalation of violence among children, all children. Black, white, whatever, that's a concern for me as a mother. There are issues. So we just come together as family, as sisters, and we are closer than our other relatives. We work with all women. So it's not like the Black Women's Roundtable is just somewhere off on the island. The Black Women's Roundtable works very much with all women, black, Latino, Asian, and white women. It would be, you know, there's not that kind of distinction. So it's more of a cultural identity than a color. Like, it's not skin color that we're all shades. So that, you know, that's not. It's not that kind of superficial. It's more cultural experience and the collective experience that we share together that can be distinguished from the experiences of other women.
And that's understood and it's respected. You know, the reason why I mention that is because, you know, with society the way it's going right now, and like I said, no disrespect, but when some places where you go and you mention black unity this, black brothers unity that, or black sister or black woman this and that, you know, it almost sounds segregated. You know what I'm saying? If it was women united, that would sound, you know, more appropriate to promote than saying black or white women union, or, you know, you don't want to get it to other people, you know, to say, okay, well, they got a black thing going on. Can we get a white thing going on? And then now you got the whole country segregated, white bathrooms. It's just, like I said, no disrespect. I was just bringing it to attention of the color thing. And, you know, hopefully America one day will wake up that we first are human and no color.
You might be shocked to find, if you walk into the boardrooms of America, somewhat male, and somewhat, if you lined up all the CEOs, you're going to find them white and male. That's just a fact. So it's just a fact. It's like an observation. Now, that does not say, some black women are married to white men. You know, it's not color. It doesn't. I'm trying to break through the fact that what we do in coming together as black women is not as superficial as our color. It is much deeper. You know, oftentimes we live in integrated communities, we run businesses that have, you know, all sorts of races and nationalities. So it's not some exclusivity that we're out just doing a black thing. We come together looking at the experience of our group. And that is legitimate, because if we did not do that, you wouldn't see that. Oh, it's like if there was, say there's a disease, and the disease is attacking short Asian girls, right? So if you don't look at that, and it might not attack anybody else. Well, at some point, first, the Asian community would come together and look at what is this impacting these Asian girls. It's not that all of us wouldn't care. That is the community and culture impacted by that thing. So they would raise the, you know, they would kind of look at it first, and then bring that attention to the rest of us. And that's kind of what the Black Women's Roundtable does. We're not saying that if there's a problem, the problem is shared by everybody in America. It's not just ours, but we can say, okay, these girls are being incarcerated at a higher rate. And if it's much higher, if you get something happening 10 to 1, there's a difference there. And you can tell me, well, it shouldn't be, and I would agree with you. But our charge in seeking to uplift our community, and on a number of statistics, you have to look at this group does not fare well in some very critical areas. So, and I think that is, it's a shared responsibility. We want all the boats to lift. But we should point it out, if one group is lagging, don't we all have an obligation to see why?
Yeah, and you're correct about that. You're correct. I mean, I'm sure if I was standing in line in front of a judge and with a white man, and we did the same crime, I'm sure I would get the worst end of it. But at the same time, we both humans. That's why there's a problem in America, and it starts with color. It starts with color, because they think we're a different color, and we think they're a different color, and now we got some different other kind of colors. Ain't nobody paying attention to the colors that's coming in, so ain't nobody calling them colors. We calling them Indians. And they're taking all the money and stuff, but we still call them each other colors. That's where I think the problem starts. And I totally understand you. And I, hey, if array to you and what you're doing, and I respect it all, and I will support that. But at the same time, you know, I'm just thinking of the words when we use it to each other. I'm married to a white woman, so I'm not going to call my woman white. I'm going to call her my wife and a human being. I don't look at her as being white. Other people do, but she ain't white. Other people look at me as being black, but I'm not black. You understand me? And it starts with that. She's a human being. She's a woman. She was made for me. I'm a man. I was made for her. And that's where it should stop at. We all need to do that.
So with the Black Women's Roundtable, for example, or for you, so you're what America might call a mixed couple, right?
Exactly.
So I cannot imagine that you haven't experienced things, even right together, that the reaction to you and the reaction to her can be different because of how you look and that difference being color. That's not something that you choose. You know what I mean? That's an experience that you have as you go through the world. Now, of course, if we're working, we also have young women, many young women, and we have Black Youth Vote. And that Black Youth Vote is not to say that, oh, they're off to themselves, because, you know, the kids are getting further and further away from some of the ways we used to identify. But if you have a set of experiences, number one, just because you relate with all people, that's perfectly fine. You can be black and have a white wife, and you can have kids that are black and white, and all of that is okay. It's like, you know, one doesn't have to deny the other. It's just the same as saying you're tall or you're short. These are things that they're just descriptions. You know, they're people. If we were more specific, we might be able to say, you know, this is a person from Florida that is this height and has these interests. This is a shorthand that gives you some indication about the cultural experience of an individual, which is shared pretty much coast to coast. So, and when we come together to look at this statistics, if I'm looking at something and I see a particular impact, let me turn to the report for an example. If I look at the state of Black women's health, so I'm looking at the page that's breast cancer death rates by race and ethnicity, right? So if I'm looking at Black women, I'm seeing 30.8. If I'm looking at Asian women, I'm seeing 14.8 per 1,000, I believe that is. So I want to know, why is my group dying at twice the rate of another group? So I might get with Asian women and say, well, what are you doing differently? Or I might look at what is their experience. That is group dynamics. That's very important, those comparisons, when you have these stark differences. If I look at deaths, women dying within childbirth. Now, that's an important thing for women, right?
Right.
So for 100,000 live births, 36 Black women die compared with 12 white women. So three times as many sisters die. That's not about me or white women. That tells me I've got a problem. I need to look at what's happening with prenatal care, what's happening with Black women, what something. you know, we're all women. We're all the same, right? So black women shouldn't die 3 times the rate of white women in childbirth, correct? So, and if we just looked at all women, if we didn't compare the numbers, then it would average out. So you look and say, oh, well, 24 women die in childbirth. Well, that's true, but if we tease it out, we're finding I'm 3 times as likely to die.
And you're probably right. I don't know if you ever seen 12 women die compared to 20 some black women dying, but you know, like I was saying, it's thing you doing is totally respected, and you know, you go with that, you know, because I just think that at this time and age, you know, like cell phones, they change. And I don't think I want nobody calling me a black man these days. You call me a man first, and you don't worry about the color. You know, that's how I think I'm being respected as a man first. Don't look at no colors, because the next man, I'm gonna respect him as being a man first, no matter what color he is. And a woman, I'm gonna respect you as being a woman first. I don't care what color you are. But I see saying you are, and you're doing it for every race, and I can dig that too. But it's just the name when you use it, that's pretty much how I confront that.
Here's what I'd like to know. So that particular statistic about maternal mortality rates comes from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. So it's an absolute fact, not something
I believe it's a lot of things that's written that we read and that we say. I'm not telling you that it ain't true. I'm not saying that. It's just that, you know, the government can tell you whatever. The health people can tell you what they want you to hear. But it's just that if you're a human, let's think about us being humans and not why we dying, because we're here to live and pass on. So if we live here as humans first and pass on, I'm sure wherever we go, we're not going to be considered a color. Do you think God's going to say, hey, black lady, come here? And I'm not being funny when I ask you that. Do you think God's going to say?
When I answer, I hope so.
You think he's going to say black woman? I don't think God looked at us as a color. That's what I'm trying to get around to on this message, is that when America speaks, not you personally, but when America speaks, America needs to speak in human language and not color language. When we think of ourselves as being color, we separate our communication from each other. Because we have a different communication, they have a different communication, and now we're segregated, and no one sees that. It's right in front of us.
So we're not. It's like I have an awful lot of acquaintances who are of European descent or white, right? I've never encountered a conversation where any of them perceive themselves as being segregated.
No, a color is where I'm trying to say, is a color. When you think you're a color, that's segregation right there, and self-segregation. God is not going to come up and say, hey, all the white folks go over there, all the colored folks go over here. He's going to accept you as he made you, a man and a woman. And that's where we need to realize is that that's how he made us, and if we treat each other like that, so we would all prosper from this earth if we treat each other like humans and not colors. And if it just stays with me and starts with my group, and my group passes it on to their group, maybe one day it will change like that. But what I'm trying to say to you, Ms. Davis, is this:
I have a question.
Black women are beautiful. White women are beautiful. Green women are beautiful. So whatever color everyone thinks they are beautiful. But a man and a woman need to realize that if we all change our words of communication, white and black, we're all human. If we change our communication, it would work better.
I don't disagree with you on the linguistics, so I think that's another. But I have a question for you would be, do you consider yourself American or just a world citizen?
I consider myself a human being on this earth, and I'm not guiding myself. There is someone guiding me and strengthening me to carry on through the things I've been through and the things I'm going through and will go through. And I don't care if it's America or green, orange city. I'm a human on this earth.
Here's what I would explain. So as a human on the earth, as a human being on the earth, you might decide to visit another part of the earth, to leave what others refer to as America or even North America, the whole continent. So you might choose to go to China, right? In order to get into China, you would need to have a passport to depart and a visa to come in because you are American and not Chinese. It doesn't mean that you're not human. It doesn't mean that they're not human. It just means that you come from a different place. And in order to come from that place to this place, you need to go through this process. So the identity is descriptive. Now, I agree that if to the extent, because race is a construct, you know, it's made up for any number of reasons, I do agree that as we alter our language and actually work and struggle to embrace broader, healthier ways to identify ourselves, I think that in terms of human relations, that will be advantageous. At the same time, I submit to you that as these statistics equal out, you will find your concern remedied. So when these numbers are the same, guess what? The issue that you're concerned about, I believe, will also evaporate. So we're working to equalize the experience of people. So as you find more commonality, there's less advantage in the distinction. So at the point when we get to a place where if my child is pregnant and has just as good a chance to have a healthy baby, productive in society as any other child, getting to that day, that's that day that people are judged more by the content of their character than the color of their skin. But work has to be put in to get us to the place, both in America and globally, where we are realizing that moment. And I believe in a God that, since I believe in a God that has to be like all-knowing and all-seeing, so that God would have to be completely aware of humans and how fickle we are with things, so he would have to know how we identify and all of those things. And in fact, having set forces in motion for this to evolve, and I think it's still evolving. So I believe we will get there. I believe that we are all human, as you say, but I believe as long as my group has such wide disparities, you know, if I was talking about something that happened just a little more, or then I could say, ooh, it might be because we're identifying as Black. And this doesn't have anything to do with how we, something is happening that in some corridors our experiences, and I don't know about Black men because I'm not, you know, I'm not a man. Maybe as a Black man you don't encounter that kind of differential. But for women, which I can speak to with authority, we encounter it at every corner. Every corner. The challenge,
yes,
if there's a short part of the stick, that's the part that we're working with. And we do a whole lot with it, but that's just our reality.
Yeah, everything is good. I done listened to the whole conversation, and everybody was vibing tonight, you know. And Ms. Davis, you done did great tonight. And Willie, you done did great with speaking and learning. Both of y'all are learning tonight from one another's speaking. And we got like 4 more minutes, Ms. Davis. Any last words and any thing you would like to tell the viewers? And also make sure you get that website out and that contact information out once again.
Sure. To reach the National Coalition on Black Civic Participation and the Black Women's Roundtable, please go to NCBCP. That's for National Coalition of Black Civic Participation. And they're located in Washington, D.C. And you can go to the website and download the report. And while we've had a bit of a philosophical conversation, the report has hard data and statistics on Black women in the United States 2014. I think it's instructive for all people to really take a look at that report, because some of the statistics would be shocking, and it's not that we are all human. We're sharing one small planet that I'm hoping will become more sustainable and healthier. But right now, I think this has been a very interesting conversation. And I'm hopeful that the listening audience will take time to explore the progress and challenges of Black women 50 years after the War on Poverty, 50 years after the Civil Rights Act, and 60 years after Brown versus the Board of Education. So it's a good moment to pause and see where we've been and where we've come. And you know, make sure that we
indeed
are moving forward.
Yes, indeed.
And I thank you so much for this opportunity to share.
Oh, it's not a problem. I'm glad that you was able to come on the show and share, and that's what our platform is all about here at the Streets and Love You Back radio show. We give everybody a chance to speak out and let them speak what their mind is, and everybody learn from everybody. So I think everybody learned something from each other tonight with this powerful conversation that was going on. That's why I just sat back and let everybody just do what they do, you know. And I just want to thank my beautiful wife.
His name was Baby Boy? Was that correct?
No, Willie. Yeah, Willie.
Oh, Willie.
Willie.
Well, Willie,
yeah,
it was very good. It was a very good conversation.
Yes, yes. You know, everybody was vibing, you know. And I want to give my beautiful wife a shout-out. She wasn't online tonight with me, but she's busy taking care of the things, so I want to give her a big shout-out tonight. She used to be right here with me and vibing on the show, but she'll get a chance to listen to the show later on tonight or tomorrow, and she'll be able to vibe with it as well. and we appreciate you coming on the show, and we just thank you so much. Keep up the great work, and keep in contact.
Absolutely, I will, and I look forward to vibing with your wife the next time.
Oh, without a doubt, you know, and when you get time, make sure you go log on to our website and join the website at thestreetsdon'tloveyouback.com.
I've got it up now.
Sounds like a winner. Go ahead and join, and I will approve you, and just keep us in the loop at what's going on, because it's about the round table, you know, and we can all learn and we can all work together to make change.
Absolutely. Thank you again.
Thank you. God bless.
Good night.
Yes. Hey, I'm finna go to some music and commercials. We'll hold tight.
All right.
Hey, are you looking for a new look and be fresh and hot at the same time? Well, my peeps, check out the Streets Don't Love You Back apparel. T-shirts, thermals, tank tops, sweatshirts, camisoles, hoodies, shorts, fitted caps, leggings, snapback caps, capris, jeans, beanies and sellies, backpacks, and much, much more. The Streets Don't Love You Back apparel for men, women, and children. Log on to www.thestreetsdon'tloveyouback.ning.com/page/store-1. That's www.thestreetsdon'tloveyouback.ning.com/page/store-1. The Streets Don't Love You Back apparel, a better way for a new look and be fresh. The hottest newspaper in Arizona, Buckeye Valley News. If you like to advertise, contact Sharon at 623-386-4426. That's 623-386-4426. And say, the Streets Don't Love You Back sent you. It's the book release by author Donna Buchanan. The name of the book, Second Chance Running, will be released in paperback and on ebook on September 30th, 2013. It's a powerful story to learn from. Released from prison July 4th, 2013, she is now educating our youth and others after spending 13 years in prison. She is a member of the Streets Don't Love You Back movement, ran by Rob and Lucinda Boyd. She became a member while in prison. For more information, go to www.thestreetsdon'tloveyouback.ning.com. That's www.thestreetsdon'tloveyouback.ning.com.
Greetings, I'm G.I. Johnson, California's Political Prisoner of the Year. I was shot by the police and framed and set up. I need your help and assistance as I fight for justice. Please visit my website at freegiproject.org and sign the online petition. This petition drive is intended to have an investigation of facts into the cover-up of this police wrongful shooting. With this petition, we shall bring awareness and vindication to Free GI. So please visit freegiproject.org and sign the online petition and pass it on to family and friends on Facebook and Twitter and all social media as we join to Free GI. freegiproject.org. Thank you very much.
What's your cast up to, man? Up to? You know what I'm saying? Just sitting out here talking about life,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah, for real.
Every day's a struggle, you know what I'm saying?
Constant struggle, you know?
Constant struggle.
I get it. I understand that, you know?
Gotta keep moving every day. For real.
You see, life is just a story that someone has to tell. We're living in this struggle. Every day we're going through this hell. You see, life is just a story that someone has to tell. So try.
See, everybody first but broke like me. Bro, wish that I could ball like them ballers on the street. Ball, living that everyday life. Made me take a step back, look at myself and check mine. Now I ain't leaving till I get my gear. Trying to keep the distance between that hate and that greed. the mathematics on them all. Put your hands up, drop your bags when you out them all. Then it's back to the block. Big money grip, still hungry for them chips. Don't make me flip. Carry your frame with the diamond chips. I just bought a new whip, can't it paint it double dip. Every day is a hustle, I'm trying to get it, trying to bubble. It's my life and my struggle.
See, life is just a story that someone has to tell. We're living in this struggle. Every day we're going through this hell. You see, life is just a story that someone has to tell. So try.
Life can't break the stress in my eyes. It is 18 to 25, yet still I rise. And I'm black and proud. My people say it loud. Walking like I talk it, hold your head above the clouds and smile. Never let them see you sweat, I bet. The streets is always watching, catch you slipping, chicken hawking. Shami's out here walking, listen to the music. If you pay attention, I'll show you how to use it. I put flows on shows like life is so abusive. Adapt and overcome the struggle like how he do it. I prove it, showing the world I am a king. Sing to the rhythm, my queen, this is your dream. Man in the building, example for all to see. Life can be a bitch, keep stroking until you ski. Stand on your own, keep fighting and never leave. Foundation is the knowledge I'm kicking, we're gonna bleed.
You see, life is just a story that someone has to tell. We're living in this struggle, every day we're going through this hell. You see, life is just a story that someone has to tell. So try. See, life is just a story that someone has to tell. You're living in this struggle, every day we're going through this hell. You see, life is just a story that someone has to tell. So try.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome right back here to the hottest radio show worldwide, kicking it with my homeboy, Will. What's good with you, man?
Not much in the lab with my man, JR. You know what I'm saying?
That's what it is, man.
How we doing?
We're good, yep. Man. You know, I'm glad you had time to weigh in tonight, man. Great conversation with you and Ms. Davis, you know, and I'm going to ask you, did you got any last words? We're going to close out, you know?
Oh, man. I just want America to wake up, man. We need to stop treating each other as we colors, start treating each other as men and women, and raising our kids like to be man and woman, you know what I'm saying? And whether, you know, I know certain races had harder times and others had silver spoons, but not everybody want to live back in the past no more. You know what I'm saying? It's time to move forward like cell phones. They changing every day. So why can't a person change? You know, start a group says, hey, you know, this is a no color. You know, we don't accept the word color. I mean,
that's
human.
What it is.
You know, that's what we born first to be. So let's keep it like that.
That's what it is. So, hey, we want to just thank my man Will for sliding through the night, chilling. And once again, I want to thank my beautiful wife for always being down and doing what she do, taking care of business as always. And much
say
shout out to all our homeboys and homegirls.
Say hi to your wife.
Say, bro?
Too, man. Say hi to your wife,
without
too.
Without a doubt, man. Without a doubt, you know. And we just want to thank everybody who tunes into our radio show every Wednesday night. Much love to our homeboys and homegirls that's on lockdown, that's down with the movement. And we just want to say much love to everybody. If you ain't joined the movement, log on www.thestreetsonofyourback.com. Get involved, and let's do what we do, educating these kids against gangs, drugs, and violence. Peace and love.
All
Have
day.
A great night.
All day.